You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, everybody, welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin, and this is episode 89. It's March 11th, 2020, when I'm recording this. How are you? Great, good to hear. Actually, I hope that if you're attempting to remain sober, if you are a sober person, I hope you're staying sober. If you're not a sober person, I hope you're staying sane. Hope everybody's staying sane. Hope you're not worrying yourself too much, overloading too much on news, freaking the fuck out, and talk a bit more about that, I'm sure. So they cancel South by Southwest here in my city. It's a lot of money that comes to my city here in Austin, Texas. And because this is the thing that's sobriety related I wanted to bring up. So, you know, immediately people are like, oh, scrambling to do shows, put together events for just about everybody that stands to lose money, which is a lot of people, because it makes a ton of money for our city, that dumbass festival we have every year that that people enjoy. Me being the hilarious person that I am, I decided to post on my status update, said about it, said, Austinites, with the cancellation of South by Southwest, there will be a lot of people that will need financial help. You should plan to give a little extra the next couple of weeks when you go out. What I'm saying is contact your dealer. They're probably hurting, and there's no return policy on a kilo. Now, I'm a comedian, so I think that's funny. I'm an ex-drug addict, so I still think that's funny. But because I'm an ex-drug addict, I had somebody contact me when they read it, because it got likes. I didn't have anybody go, what the fuck, John? You know, or anything like that. People knew that it was a joke, kind of. It's kind of a joke. I mean, it is a joke, but also I know dealers, and they all went, fuck, when they found out, because I know they bought a bunch of ecstasy and shit. Anyway, so it, you know, but that's the thing is that, but I had somebody contact me and go, are you all right? And I just replied back with, yes, I'm still sober. Boom. So taken care of. It's a joke. God damn it. I don't know. It was one of those, like deep sighs when I saw it. I was just like, I'm like, believe me. You people will know if I relapsed like a motherfucker. Like it's not subtle. It's not, I'm not like, there won't be like little hints in a status update. It, you know, it'd probably be on the news. So I'm fine is what I'm saying. Everything's great. You know, it's just, and it is worrisome. The whole pandemic is a little worrisome. It's funny because it took a pandemic for me to do my bring back my show that I all but retired, which is called Spite Club. If you've seen Roast Battle, it's like that, only funny. Roast Battle's like geared towards an actual audience, and it's real pandering. And some people like it, and that's fine. And there's lots of copycats. But, you know, I was doing an insult show 20 years ago. I started it. And it's like, why haven't I heard of it? Because it wasn't popular. You know, it was beloved by dozens. But it was actually, it was a whole lot of inside jokes. There's a whole lot of insults at people in the community, giving each other shit. So there's a lot of, like, you know, people who are not in the comedy community still enjoyed it, because it's a hell of a lot of energy and it's a lot of fun. But sometimes the reference is like, I don't know who that guy is. So, but the thing is that it's not for I designed a show. That's how you remain unsuccessful, by the way. You design a show not for not for paying customers. that's essentially what I did. But because of the cancellation, I'm actually going to do my show tomorrow night. So if you're listening to this before 11 p.m. on Thursday, March 12th, we're going to do that at the Velveeta Room. If you're around Austin and you're like, I'd like to see the comedians make fun of each other and, in some kind of mob mentality, you should come on out. So I'm going to do that. But it's been interesting. It's been interesting to watch just the news psych everybody up and psych themselves out. Like, I know they don't. It's like we're trying to give you information, but they're just spitting out whatever they have. Like, there's no journalistic integrity with they're just. The panic that they're just generating is just it's kind of annoying, actually. So I've wanted to kind of go over that and deal with what I've discovered. And let me just grab that real quick, or just write down like what we know, so that everybody, and then just so that everybody, it's basically this. Everybody just needs to remember. Remember what the Hitchhiker's Guide said. That's what you got to do. Don't panic and make sure you're carrying a towel. That's basically, maybe as a metaphor, like probably tissues nowadays. That's like a tiny disposable towels, but that's basically it. You carry around tissues and don't panic. Remember to breathe. That's a big one. Let's just calm down and let's see what's going on here. And I'm going to grab my shit here and look at my notes and tell you what's keeping me from freaking out. All right. All right, guys. So it's amazing to me, by the way, that nothing is more telling about human nature than negotiating something as simple as wash your hands. It's clear. Wash your hands thoroughly for 20 seconds. And immediately people are like, and they know the severity of it. Like, they kind of freak out. What do we do? Do we need to... what kind of supplies do we need to stockpile? Do we need to stockpile massive amounts of toilet paper? That makes sense. Let's go get a bunch of toilet paper. But this doesn't make you shit yourselves. Yeah, but we may be staying at home. Doing what? Shitting yourself all the time? Like, are you going to shit more? Because you're at home? Are you going to? No, we're going to get a bunch of it. No, but so they sit there and it's like, no, you just wash your hands. Make sure you do it thoroughly and often, like you probably already should be doing as an adult, for 20 seconds. And everybody's like, can I use hand sanitizer? Well, that I'm just going to use Purell. That's enough, right? That'll be fine. It'll be fine. Barbara, we're good. It's going to be okay. Yeah, Perel. We're just going to do that. It's fine. Cover your mouth when you cough. It'll be all right. 20 seconds is a long time. Jesus. No, but which kind of makes me think that if we were ever in a nuclear holocaust, and scientists were saying, all right, if you're going to leave the bunker for any reason, you have to wear your hazmat suit. To protect yourself from the you're just going to have to. Can I wear a windbreaker and a motorcycle helmet? No, that can't. It's not going to do anything. Nah. But here's the thing: I don't like the hazmat suit because I don't look fuckable in it. Yeah, but oh, Jesus Christ. So that's kind of how it seems to be going down, is people looking for all different kinds of things. You know, can I gargle bleach? Can I do all these things? And it's really, it basically, they're, and now they start talking about, they've got a buzz phrase going, and this is as of today, I saw. And it's, they're calling it social distancing. You know, keeping your distance from people. It's like, and I love the different suggestions that they have, which are basic, you know, you don't shake hands. Keep a good distance from everybody, like it's 6 feet. Avoid crowded areas and large crowds. And all I could think when I was reading the different things is like, wow, I've been training for this the past 7 years. You know, being sober and not fucked up, I do all of those things by default. Just because I'm trying to just, you know, yeah, I need some space. So I feel pretty comfortable with my, you know, habits of the past 7 years of alienating everyone else. See? It's all working out. But really, it's, we just have to, when it all comes down to it, because we can look at all kinds of shit that we, you know, what else can we do? Are there a cure, you know, waiting for a vaccine and all this other stuff? We're just going to have to just kind of realize that this is something we're going to have to deal with. It's not going to be done in 2 weeks. You know, I love the polarization that they're treating this like it's people are treating this like it's the election, like politics. You know, they're divided and they're polarized on the, you know, one side or the other. Like, yeah, it's going to be done in a month. No, it's all just a conspiracy to distract us from the election. Like, we don't know about the election. Like, this is going to distract us from whatever. I don't know. So they're making up all the dead people in Italy. All right. This is not something to, you know, This is not the time to be right. That's what bugs me about people. It's like, no, you wait and see. I hope you're right there. Then you can pat yourself on the back on the internet. That'll be great. And as far as I can tell, it's basically what should we do kind of a thing is pretty cut and dry. It's the washing your goddamn hands. Masks only help if you're already sick. You're protecting yourself from others. But if you're sick, you should stay home. You know, because the thing is that we are right in the middle of flu and cold season still. And seasonal allergies are just now kicking in. So you're going to have stuff that's going to make you freak out, because you're going to be getting a little sick. You know, you've got sniffle. What you need to understand is that 90%, and I got this from the Harvard Med report involving COVID-19. And what you have to understand is that 90% of people who test positive for COVID-19, the symptoms were high fever, and 70% was a dry cough, not sniffles or runny nose. They had a dry cough and they had a high fever. So if you're starting to get, if your nose is runny, you probably have got allergies. Throat's itchy, you probably have allergies. If you're concerned at all, stay home and ride it out. Just, you know, and it's not that you don't stay home for 14 days. That's not the deal. The incubation period is 14 days. That's that you don't need to isolate yourself when you're sick for 14 days. That's crazy. All right. You just, you know, you stay away from people if you're sick and you have any kind of a concern. If you've got, and, you know, and they say, by the way, they say mild to moderate symptoms, stay home. Do not go to the hospital. For God's sake, don't go to the fucking hospital, you guys. Unless you really want to be, do you want to get sick? Don't go to the hospital. Jesus Christ, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go to the pharmacy. By the way, also, don't go to the pharmacy and handle bottles everywhere. Like everybody else, think of all the people that go into a pharmacy, pick up a bottle, look at it, set it back down, who probably didn't wash their hands for 20 seconds. If you're going to go into a pharmacy, put on some fucking gloves. But the only time you need to contact the hospital, you know, for this kind of thing is when you have severe symptoms. And that's basically that shortness of breath, that really bad respiratory problem. But that's something, that's like worst case scenario, you guys. But I bring that up because the real thing about this, because these are things that most of you know. Like the only information that we don't have is the future. And we don't know, and nobody can give you the information that you really want, which is, is it going to get worse? Is it come, that kind of stuff. That's the real thing about that we're dealing with is fear. And, and that's the whole thing about don't panic, because it's going to be really easy to freak out right now. And you just fear is something that's hard to deal with. And I feel pretty good right now, but there's going to be moments that I'm scared for, family members who are over 70, my mom and dad, for example, and I hope everything's going to be all right. And all we can do is just be vigilant and do things, and wash your goddamn hands. That's really what we got to do. And the thing about fear is, I looked up a couple of things because I'm like, I bet there's some helpful tips from the community, from like an actual, like the medical field, like psychiatry and stuff that could help with fear. And I looked, some tips on how we can deal with fear, right? And a couple of the first things that I looked up when I Googled it and was kind of just doing some searching was like, turn to God. And I'm like, okay, thanks. So then I kept going. And then I did find this, and I wanted to, share. This is from Psycom, which is, psychiatry and stuff. And they have some of these, and most of these are good suggestions. So I'm going to go through them. I figured that'll be fun, right? All right, so that'll be fun. Things to do about fear, let's see. Number one, allow yourself to sit with your fear for 2 to 3 minutes at a time. Breathe with it. Say it's okay. Feels lousy, but emotions are like the ocean. The waves ebb and flow. All right, that's an example of things to say to yourself. It's okay, it feels lousy, but emotions are like the ocean. The waves ebb and flow. Maybe don't say that to yourself. That's dumb. But, sit with it and convince yourself that things are going to be all right. Just kind of feel it out. It says to call the good friend waiting to hear from you. Immerse yourself in an activity you know is enjoyable and engrossing. So basically, don't, spend a few minutes to kind of get yourself together and then, put yourself back in your life. That's a great way to distract yourself from fear is just get distracted by your life, basically. The second thing that it says you can do is write down the things you are grateful for. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to do that. That was that's a lot like the step 4 and 12-step program. I was like, that's a lot of writing. I don't see me doing it. But write down the things you are grateful for. If you're one of those people that like to do lists, that's going to be right up your alley. You're like, okay, shit, I'm really freaking out. And then you can, write down the things you're grateful for. Look at the list. And when you feel you're in a bad place, and then you add to the list. All right. Here's another suggestion, and I don't know what the fuck this means, but I'm going to read it because maybe you'll get something out of it. I doubt it. Remind yourself that your anxiety is a storehouse of wisdom. I don't know what that means. Write a letter. Dear Anxiety, I am no longer intimidated by you. What can you teach me? All right. So anyway, yeah, your anxiety is a storehouse of wisdom, you guys. Let's move on to the next one. Exercise. Dude, that works for me. It's exercise can refocus you, whether you go to on a short walk, head to a boxing gym, Jesus, for an all-out sweat session, or turn on a 15-minute yoga video at home. Exercise is good for you, and it will ground you and help you feel more capable. Now, I can back that shit up, because I may not exercise very severely. Like, I work out for a good 10 to 15 minutes when I work out, and I, you know, 4 to 5 times a week, and I don't exert myself, but all that much. I'm, you know, I half-ass work out, but I still feel great no matter, you know, even if I don't, you know, just go, go hard or go home. I don't do that, but, I absolutely back that up. Exercise. And it's really super easy to do. And we always just go, do I have time? You totally have time. So I back that one up. And then last one, there's two more. Okay, another one is use humor to deflate your worst fears. Already on it. You just, that's who I am every day. But, oh my God, I was going to just skip this, but this is the use humor to deflate your worst fears. Right. For instance, what are some ridiculous worst-case scenarios that might happen if you accept an invitation to deliver a speech to a crowd of 500 people? I might pee in my pants at the podium. I will be arrested for giving the worst speech in history. Boy. Man, these people have a different view of what comedy is than I do. But that's all right. Don't... For instance, what are some ridiculous worst case scenarios? Maybe don't focus on worst case scenarios when dealing with fear in this instance. Comedy is good, but that may be a bad example. But yeah, using humor, always a good thing. Appreciate your courage. Jesus, you guys. Nah, but maybe. You know what? All right. I'll play. Yeah, okay. I'll play along. Appreciate your courage, you guys. Doreen would tell herself during difficult times, every time I don't allow fear to keep me from doing something that scares me, I'm making myself stronger and less likely to let the next fear attack stop me. Okay, see, that sounds reasonable, and that sounds way better than pussifying it up with appreciate your courage. Man, that's just, that phrasing just bugs me. Anyway, there's some examples on fighting with fear. All right, thanks for bearing with me on that. It just felt good to get out. And if you're still with me, thanks. Just remember, you know, listen to doctors, not the news, and, talk with people who are reasonable, your friends, you know, if you're worried, and we'll get through this. It's going to be all right. You know, things are going to be okay. Just remember to breathe. That's really what it comes down to. Hopefully we'll have, I'll talk about just normal shit next week. We'll see. Have a good weekend. Hang in there. And it's finally here. It just got broke 80 degrees today. So spring has sprung. So go outside, enjoy the outdoors, you know, but keep your distance. Remember, social distancing, they say. All right. Thank you, guys. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later.